8. A fact in the present, a fact in the past. John and Andrew went home that night and said, "We have found the Messiah." They had had an encounter. It was an event that was happening in the present, one that claimed to hold the exhaustive meaning of their lives. But where was the root of what that encounter meant? Where was the content of that encounter? In an unforeseeable way, that event fulfilled a history of the past. In that history, the proclamation of the claim had begun, and within its context, it was possible to explain the content of the encounter that was taking place. It was the great history of the Jewish people, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, begun with Abraham and arising out of God's promise that he would be the starting point of a great people who would carry the meaning of the whole world, as Isaiah says, speaking not only of Israel, but of all nations. John and Andrew, and the same applies to the two disciples of Emmaus, had Jesus before their eyes. But the claim of total meaning for their lives carried by that event referred to a past in which that event had been the object of prophecy. From the present, a memory welled up, whose content began in the past. They could not explain Christ without beginning to consider what they had never consciously taken into account in their lives, the fact that God had promised his coming to expectant man, rurate cheli de super, et nubes pluant justum. Drop down dew, ye heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain the just. It was an encounter that fulfilled a previous beginning. Memory. It is the same for us now. The encounter that happens today is a source of memory because it means coming across a presence that begins in the past. Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna, was deeply moved whenever he told of his teacher John, who was already old when they first met, and of how he would talk of that afternoon when, with Andrew, he had set eyes on Jesus for the first time. Polycarp would later give up his life for Christ, burned at the stake. He had his encounter with Christ through John. For him, the encounter with Christ had the face, the characteristics, the form of John, of the Christians of Smyrna, and the leader of that community. Yet that encounter that gave rise to Polycarp's faith drew all its value, its content, its consistency, from Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, a man who that afternoon, after receiving baptism from John the Baptist, had gone home, followed by those two who did not dare speak to him. This is why an encounter is the source of memory. What struck Polycarp in that moment was a fact in the present. Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. But it was a fact that had begun years before. Memory indicates the historical depth of an encounter, as far back as the root from which it ultimately started. The encounter we have today is true, because he, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, died and rose, ascended into heaven, and affects reality with his Spirit. This encounter finds its value in a fact that took place 2,000 years ago. Faith is the awareness of a presence that began in the past. This is why an encounter activates memory. Let us dwell again on the word encounter. It does not indicate merely coming across something that moves into the horizon of our existence, but the happening within this horizon of a presence capable of changing life altogether. Thus, an encounter earns the right to be called an event, in the full sense of the term. An encounter is characterized as the impact with something exceptional, capable of metamorphosing life, changing its shape, its outline, so as to create a new world. In an encounter, faith begins, because it carries, bears, makes present something exceptional, unforeseen, unforeseeable, which radically strikes our life, so as to change its principle of cognition, its principle of affection, and its capacity to build, calling it to collaborate creatively with God's plan, which would otherwise be ineffable. The word memory is crucially enlightening, precisely because it indicates that the encounter we have today finds its root in a past. The present encounter makes us discover the original event, which in turn is the foundation of, and is decisive for the truth of, the present encounter. It explains it. The word memory therefore describes the history between the event at its origin and the encounter that makes the original event an unavoidable, indestructible, undeniable presence. The whole wealth of the beginning is within the present, And it is in the present that man discovers the divinity of the origin. Memory is the history that runs from the origin up to the present. The material content, thought, affection, work, of the word memory is also called tradition. From the past and from the present. So it is possible to describe the dynamic of the Christian event both by starting from the past and moving towards the present, and by starting from the present and moving towards the past. We can sum it up in the following formulations. A. An event in the past that claims a meaning for one's life can be found in the experience of a present event, which is the beginning of a memory whose content is fully explained within the past event. B. A present event, one that claims to have a definitive and all-embracing meaning for one's life, can be explained only in virtue of an event in the past in which this claim began, and which we reach through a memory of the content of that time that is fulfilled now. It is in a present event that man today discovers an event in the past that has the same claim to meaning, just as the present event establishes a memory that has its ultimate content in that past event. Apologetic value and educative value. These formulations are valuable from both the apologetic and pedagogical points of view. The apologetic, demonstrative path unfolds in the first way, the educative path in the second. The first formulation is important for countering any clerical attempt to stand before the world, to impose ourselves on the world, or to justify ourselves in the world's eyes with a hegemonic and ideological claim. In recent decades, for instance, people have all too often tried to justify Christianity's validity in terms of the dominant values of the culture of the moment. This led to the obliteration of the essential fact that, after 2,000 years, Christianity is an original presence today, one that carries the claim of a meaning for the life that began then, and the fully adequate understanding of the fact in the past is enlightened in the encounter with a present event that is laden with promise for life. The world's well-being is a consequence of this present event, which is brought to fulfillment according to the will of God, according to the measure of His gifts. Instead, the second formulation, above all, has an educational, clarifying value. It makes us understand that what we experience today in Christian life is what the medieval monks lived, and is what John and Andrew lived even before them. All the educative work that needs to be carried out, especially with youth, depends on this, so that by starting from the fascination of the encounter, they may come to realize all that it implies. We realize what has happened, starting 2,000 years ago, because we are struck by and we adhere to a proposal that comes to us in the present, before which it is possible to say, the meaning of life is right here. Thus we discover all that is implied in the fact we encounter, and the content of memory begins to unfold. Lawrence the Hermit says, I was told all must be taken in without words and safeguarded in silence. Then I understood that perhaps the whole of my life would be spent in recalling what had happened to me, and the memory of you fills me with silence.